When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Wow, Magic fans, what an unbelievable Magic Pod Squad coming your way here today. Former Magic player, part of the Orlando Magic Heart and Hustle team, Tariq Abdul-Wahad joins the show, and it is a good one. And of course, Magic Pod Squad is brought to you by the Florida Department of Transportation. They remind you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. If you've been drinking, don't get behind the wheel. Instead, find a sober driver or catch a ride service. Remember, drive sober or get pulled over. Have a great night and drive safe. We cover everything with Tariq Abdul-Wahad, who is still a big Magic fan and knows a lot about this Orlando Magic team. We go into his time here in Orlando. Of course, 46 games as part of that Heart and Hustle team, and then ultimately traded at the deadline when the Magic brought in Ron Mercer to try to make a playoff push. So we get into all of that. His time in Sacramento as well, playing with young phenom Jason Williams. Oh, he had a front row seat to all of that. He truly enjoyed it. And then being the first player who was raised in France playing in the NBA. What a very interesting story he tells on his NBA journey. Terrific conversation with Tariq Abdul-Wahad comes your way right now on Magic Pod Squad.
This is Fonz Wagner of the Orlando Magic.
This is Cole Anthony.
This is Jalen Suggs.
This is Paolo Banchero of the Orlando Magic, and you're listening to the Pod Squad.
It's great to have you with us for another edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad. It is my pleasure to introduce our guests, Dante Marcatelli, George Galante. Magic fans are going to be pretty excited about this one because it brings up such great memories of that Heart and Hustle team. Tariq Abdul-Wahad, kind enough to join us. Six NBA seasons, and of course, spent that memorable one here in Orlando from 99 to 2000. And Tariq, that was my second year in the NBA, and I know we haven't spoken in quite some time, but I didn't show up in the NBA with this white hair. I've gotten a lot older. You have not aged, but I have in the last 25.
No, that's not the way this works. Don't be fooled by the looks, man. I'm in pain just like anybody else.
Well, that's a great point. You know, I remember a Donald Foyle saying, you give your body to the game. You really do. Are you feeling it? Are you feeling all those years?
People have a hard time understanding that, but I mean, since we're children, we jump up and down, run up and down, and the joints, I mean, it takes a toll. You know, I mean, obviously it's not football, right? But it's still, you know, when you get in your 40s and 50s, it can be a little bit brutal.
I have a hard time when I see some of the former players that we've seen over the years, and just watching the way some of the guys walk, it hurts me watching guys walk.
Oh, yeah. Most knees are gone. Most hips are shot. I had hip surgery about two years ago. I had a hip resurfacing surgery. I got to get the other hip done. So, yeah, it takes a toll, especially, remember, back then in the 90s, we didn't know what we know now. Like, we really didn't know what we know now. A lot of players were lifting too much weights. They were too heavy. The sports science, I mean, really evolved in the past few years.
Well, back then they'd put some chicken wire on it, right? Just wrap it up and send you.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know that heat pack they gave you, like that heat pack they got out of the metal thing, like you put down.
Yes.
Ready to go, dude. No warm up, no nothing. You just.
Oh my goodness.
Off the bench, you're ready to go.
That's amazing. Well, Tariq, it's great to catch up with you. It's been a while since we've been able to chat with you, but let everyone know what you're up to. Let Magic fans get them all caught up and let them know where you're at and what you've been up to the last.
Well, nothing much. I mean, I'm a retired basketball player. So whatever that means, you know, a lot of hanging out, a lot of taking care of your family, a lot of, I'm still in sports. My kids play tennis. So they're older now, but they're playing tennis on the minor league tour. We have a little organization. We organize tennis tournaments. We have a little little training center. So no, I mean, busy with sports. I was more involved in basketball a few years ago.
Right.
But after I was coaching girls, like I had a training program for girls, but most of my girls all went on to play in college. And so now they're like junior sophomores in college. So I kind of stopped the program because my class, I had a group of like 8-10 girls and they all made it. So I mean, most of them made it. So I just moved on to work in tennis a little bit. Yeah, that's about it.
Was that a passion of yours? Did you play tennis or how did
no,
you?
No,
did
you... no. So my kids played, my daughter was playing basketball at first. And then my wife told her that she needed to be in a sport that's a little bit more feminine. She didn't want her to be playing basketball for some reason. So she got into tennis and she got decent. She played college and then she went pro. And her younger brother also always wanted to play tennis. So he's 19 now and he's also working his way up on the circuit. So it's a hard sport. Tennis is really hard. It's really, really hard. You eat what you kill. There's no first round draft pick. There's no guaranteed money. You got to work at it, and it takes a long time to be good. And if you're not, you know, if you're not good, super good early, you really have to grind.
So with their dad being a pro athlete, like what kind of advice do you lend to them? Obviously you didn't play tennis, but what can they lean on with you being a pro athlete?
Yeah, stretch and drink a lot of water. I mean, I don't mean to be funny, but that's important. And then the mentality you have to have. I mean, the mindset has to be, it has to be about trying your best, trying your hardest. You can't be satisfied. You got to work hard. It's not an easy. It's weird because in the mind of normies, regular people, they think that it's easy for athletes. You know. When you're very good at what you do, it looks easy, right?
Right, sure.
So they think that being an athlete is actually, it must be easy. Not only it's not easy, but it's actually very taxing on the mind, taxing on the body. And I'm not trying to be here to, you know, I mean, we love, Vlade Divac one time told me, I can't believe these people are paying us millions to do something that we would do for free.
Right? That's a great point.
We would do this for free. We love to play the game anyway, right? But it's not as easy as it seems. It really isn't.
Well, then how much do you appreciate? And we'll go back because we obviously want to get into your journey and all that. But I guess just to kind of follow up on that, how much do you appreciate? You know, we look around our team right now, okay? So you think about when you were here in 99, 2000. There's a sports psychologist, there's sports scientists, you have built-in rest days, right? You have lockout days where you don't practice as much. We have physical therapists that help with the rehab part of things. I mean, how much do you appreciate the evolution of the sport, understanding that all those things that you mentioned weren't available to you, but they are now?
They were available, but not to that extent, obviously.
Not to that extent.
But you gotta, I mean, it's good for them. Good for them. I wish the Magic would play a little bit more team defense.
Yeah.
With all of that treatment and all of these massages and all of these. I'm just saying. We score a lot, but we give up a lot.
We give up a lot. So you watch. You still follow and all that. That's great. Come on,
man. Seriously? Like, yeah. I mean, the teams I played for, yeah. The other teams I don't care. But yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, a little bit. I watch a little bit. But especially what's fun about the Magic is that it's a young team. Mm-hmm. And it's a young team that has a lot of upside. You don't beat Boston twice back-to-back like this 3 weeks right. ago. You don't have upside. So now, I mean, Coach Mosley has his work cut out, like Coach Davis used to say, because it's not easy. Like I said, it's not that easy. Like, yeah, you can have, you know, six, seven guys score double figures. But it's a whole nother thing in this day and age, in this game now, the way the game is refereed and the way it's played, to hold a team to 90 points.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen. Yeah, it
doesn't happen anymore. Much. Yeah, it's hard anymore. To do.
So, and the teams that are successful in the playoffs, because I don't know if you noticed. I mean, obviously you guys noticed. But once we get to the playoffs, people are playing defense, right? Mm-hmm. And the referees are swallowing whistles, right? Mm-hmm. So the habits you have to build during the regular season, which are the goal is to keep a team to 90 to 95 points. The teams who do that go very deep in the playoffs. Very deep. I'm not even talking about where do they qualify to go to the playoffs, but they go very deep. And that's why teams like Boston and teams like Milwaukee and teams like those are going to go far, because it's not that they got players that are amazing. Everybody has players that are amazing. It's that they play team defense. I mean, they play team defense.
Yeah, that's important.
But this is coming, Dante, from a guy that really hung his hat on the defensive end of the floor, too. Like, Tariq, you had a different mentality. You were the guy, you know, I remember when we traded, you know, when we got you in 99, you were our stopper. You were our stopper on the wing for sure. So you have a different mentality than a lot of guys on the defensive end.
Well, yeah, but you got to figure the best players in the game, they might not have this mentality all the time, but when push comes to shove,
sure,
that mentality comes in quick, right? So even though they're not defensive specialists, or they don't say defense is the name of the game of what I want to do, they can score their 25 points. But when it's time to lock up and it's time to rotate, it's time to close out, they do those things. And this is where Doc, you guys talk about this team we had in 99-2000. This is where Doc was an absolute genius in his first year of coaching. Is that he made us understand how important those little things were. And you want to talk about, I mean, Bo Outlaw, who's still there, right? Bo
is sure,
still
right.
A lot of things with the Magic. I mean, come on, Ben Wallace, are you serious? Daryl Armstrong. I mean, we're talking about guys who took this personally, right? They took playing defense personally.
Okay, so the NBA world did not know anything about those guys, right? But you did. You were in the locker room, and that was kind of a first opportunity for a lot of those guys. Well, what did you see? Ben Wallace is in the Hall of Fame now, for God's sake. It's absolutely unbelievable, right? I mean, you saw that first. You saw that up close and personal. When did you know, oh, man, we got something special, and they're projecting us to win 20 games? That's not going to be the case with this.
Listen, that team, first of all, Musselman was the assistant coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, so I'm not talking about just the mindset of the players, but the coaches. The coaches were like honest people. Like, they were good people, but they were honest people. So when you made a mistake, when you did something wrong, it was said, it was told, it was showed on films, or it was explained, right? Mm-hmm. So that team was coached, right? Number one, that team was coached. Number two, that team was coachable. So the players, when they received criticism or they received advice or they received, they actually took it to heart. Like, dude, this is like, we got to do something with this. This information is going to help us. And the guys on that team were extremely good people and smart. Like smart people, like smart. Dolly,
yes.
Garrity, John Amici. I mean, these guys are smart people, like intelligent, bright, bright young men. And we had no shame in working hard. I mean, you got to think, the 90s basketball is, there were not a lot of teams like our team, late 90s, right. Early 2000s. Teams, and I was thinking about this the other day. The reason why Doc Rivers, and people tend to forget this, but the reason why Doc Rivers at the beginning of his coaching career coached the way he did is obviously because he was a player for the Knicks under Pat Riley, right? And at that time, remember, Pat Riley was running Miami, like, you know, Alonzo Mourning, and these teams were hardworking teams. In the first week of practice, when Doc said, we're going to be the hardest working team in Florida, we know what he meant.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, damn, that's going to hurt.
We're going to feel this.
Right, we're going to feel this one, because you know that 3 hours away, these dudes are working like dogs, right?
So
we knew where we stood. But this group of guys, I mean, honestly, that was the best experience in my basketball career by far, because it was good people coached by good people who wanted the best out of each other and who wanted others to succeed. And Doc did a masterful job. He got coach of the year.
Yes, he did. Yes, he sure did. That was wonderful. Yeah. Well, then how much does it say to you guys that you could, when you have that environment, Tariq, right? Which is rare, right? To have all of that come together like it did, great people, hard workers, everybody willing to put in the work. When you have to say something to someone, I imagine it's well received because it's not taken personal. And you guys understand you have each other's back. I mean, how important is that trust factor during an NBA season?
That's the trust of winning teams. This is as crazy as it sounds, like people don't understand. That's what makes winning at that level. That's how you win. It has nothing to do with X's and O's. It's about, are you going to trust what the coaches are saying? Number two, are you going to play for one another? And are you going to be like good people? Not I'm not talking about the fake thing on the fake. Hey, we celebrate. Came into came into like 5-6 years later when a college team on ESPN started to cheer for each other and everybody thought, oh yeah, we got it done.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about genuinely caring for one another on and off the court. That's when I know it was a winning team, because I've been on other teams where it did not function like that at all.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Through conversations with investors and entrepreneurs, Unseen Upside by Cambridge Associates explores the human impact of investing. Season 4 focuses on exciting healthcare advancements, promising to improve outcomes and create resilient, patient-centric systems, blending technology and compassion. Meet the minds behind innovation shaping the future of medicine, from drug discovery to the role of AI. Uncover the Unseen Upside, available now.
Tariq, so you talk, I mean, this is 20 plus years later. I can still feel the passion you have for that group. And I remember when you got traded during that season, I remember you were really hurt. I could see it in your face. I could feel it. And I just feel your emotion now with that team. So that group really meant a lot to you.
Yeah. I mean, when Doc told me in his office, I cried. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to explain this. This is not in a career. You got guys who played for 20 years and who never win, right?
Yeah.
And you have guys who play for 20 years and who never play on a winning team, right? Sure. I played on two winning teams. I got very lucky. I played in Sacramento my second year, which was a winning team. And mm-hmm. I played for Orlando, which was a winning team. After that, it was not, you could tell.
So it's just because you knew what you had.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
It broke my heart. It was rough.
Well, it broke our hearts too, because there was something there. And it, you know, you understand, I guess, you know, you're trying to go for trying to bring in somebody that might be able to get you over the hump, but it didn't go that way. And you guys had some. Was there a feeling for you if you'd have left it intact? I think John Gabriel would say the same thing. I think that's probably something.
Absolutely.
That he wishes.
Ben was calling me during the season. What did it? Yeah. Ben just called me, dude. This dude, we get beat off the dribble.
Yes.
And I have to go there way quicker. And I have to go help. Wait. I mean, this dude was he's a Hall of Famer for a reason.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So his basketball IQ was extremely high. And he's like, dude, I'm like a step and a half late, and Bo can't rotate. Nah, dude, we miss you, man. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I miss you too. I'm in Denver and I'm by myself out here. What you talking about? Help.
Right.
Defense, and then guards getting blown by. The dudes coming in. We getting this. It's the holes all over the place. Right. So, it was fascinating. It's fascinating.
Well, Tariq, I remember Ben Wallace. You know, it was new to us, but I remember we on media day, he was telling everybody that he played baseball and he played shortstop. And I remember asking him, why would you play, 6'7", 6'6", why would you play shortstop? And his answer was, because everybody told me I couldn't. I thought, man, that's an unbelievable. What were your conversations with Ben Wallace like?
Well, Ben Wallace did not talk a lot.
Sure.
No, he's not the talkative guy. Not at all. So I don't even recall. I mean, except for that conversation once I was outside.
That's right.
I was no longer on the team. I don't even recall having a long, deep conversation with Ben. I mean, Ben was all about playing. Man of little, didn't say much, practiced hard.
Sure.
But absolute, I mean, an absolute, a grown man. Like the guys like that. I mean, I know he loved to play video games. I know he loved to race his little cars and stuff.
Yeah.
I was not really into any of that stuff. But he was, I mean, you know it when you have something, when you play with someone that special, you actually know it. You understand it. Even though he didn't score 50 points a game, right? What he brought to a basketball team was just invaluable.
Still in touch with anybody from that club, Tariq?
I send some messages to Daryl sometimes on Instagram, whatever, saying hi, whatever, but not as much as I would like to. I talked to Pat, called me because Pat works for the Pistons, I think, or he worked for the Pistons.
He
called me one time about a French player they had to see if I could talk to him, that French kid, whatever. So yes and no, but I would love to be with those guys again, because
we're going to get you reconnected with some of those guys.
For sure. Really impacted. I think even they know, right, that this was a special time. I did. I had some contact a few years back with Doc and his secretary or whatnot. But yeah. But then after everybody goes their way, you know.
They go their way. But part of our alumni network, which we're so thankful that you responded to, is to get guys reconnected. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So we're certainly going to work on that, and we're excited to play a small part in that. You mentioned Darrell Armstrong. You go down the list, Tariq. I mean, Monty Williams. Look at what he's doing now as an NBA head coach.
Yeah, how did I say Monty? What am I doing?
About that, right? Another cerebral player that's now a fantastic coach.
Yeah,
exactly. And you had all those guys willing to run through a wall. I remember that when they missed the playoffs, Tariq, you missed it by one game, right? And I know you guys had laid the groundwork, and I know you didn't get to see it through, which was tough, but Darrell was in tears, and he reunited with Bo 3 or 4 years ago, and they did an interview about the Heart and Hustle year, and Darrell broke down in tears just thinking about that group that you're talking about. I mean, it's unbelievable, the impact.
I'm not surprised.
That, that, that made on Darryl. How much did you appreciate? Darryl seemed like a guy that literally left it all on the floor every night.
No, he was the heart of the team. I mean, he was. Think about it. We couldn't. I mean, except for Darryl going for 25, yeah. Right? Doly coming off the pick. So if it's Darryl coming off the pick and roll on the left side, left hand side, Amici with a few post moves. Mm-hmm. Bo and I going for the offensive. Bo, Ben, and I going for the offensive glass. Mm-hmm. Monty with Marby, what, 10 points a game, barely. Corey off the bench, Pat off the bench shooting threes. There was no score. There was no offensive leadership on the team.
So
Darryl had to pretty much like do a lot more for his little frame, like do a lot more than he wanted to do, I'm sure. Right. So not only he had to carry the weight offensively, but when you look up and you see the first line of defense is these little shiny bald head dome, 6 foot dude, like, how the hell is this dude in the league scorching this dude? He's like a little dude, like, you know, like some dude from the street, like a little dude from the street. When you see this and this dude gives everything he has, you give everything you have. Like, there's no way that you're going to let this guy down. No way. Like, I mean, honestly, I think Bo, myself, and Ben would not. I mean, even Monty was probably thinking the same. You cannot let this guy down. Like, there's no way, because he was the leader of the team and he had so much on his shoulders that,
we've been to the finals, George, in 95 and 08, and people talk about that team more than any other team, right? That we can remember. Those are the reasons.
There's no doubt about that. Okay, Tariq, let's take, for people that don't know, I mean, people know Evan Fournier, Tony Parker, Rudy Gobert. You were the first. You were the original. You were the original. Yeah. Michael Petras, we call Air France, but you were the original Air France, right? Mm-hmm. So talk about coming over. What was that like for you? Coming over from France, I don't imagine you knew too many people in the States when you came over to college. What was that like for you as a young kid coming over to a place that you had probably never been much before?
Well, to understand why my situation was a bit different, you have to understand French basketball. To understand French basketball is to understand that before I left and said I'm going to make it, because I said. Because I didn't just go. I went and I called it. And this is where I had a lot of, I didn't make many friends by calling it. Because in France, in sports, you're supposed to be, culturally speaking, a French athlete is supposed to be, a French athlete historically is supposed to be a gracious loser.
Okay.
That's the history. Until they started winning in soccer in the 80s, they won the European Championship in the 80s, the French national team. It's not a culture of winning. It's not a culture of going to the States and saying, I'm going to make it to the league. That's what I said, right? Went to the University of Michigan, realized I had no game, that I had to learn how to play, because I thought I'm a good player. Then I'm like, oh, no, I'm not, right? So, so I had to transfer teams. So I went to San Jose State to actually work on my game, learn how to play the game. And I got lucky enough that I had assistant coaches there who really helped me out, worked and worked and worked and worked. But when I was in France, I was not one of those French players who went through the national training system, right? There's a training center in France.
Aaron
went there. Parker went there. Boris Diaw went there. Turiaf went there. They all went there. The ones who didn't, like Pietrus didn't go there, I didn't go there, Michael didn't go there, I didn't go there. The few ones who didn't go there already did not get the French stamp. So we were not celebrated because we were not part of their training system, right? You got to really understand.
I gotcha. Wow, that's very interesting.
So not only that, but me, I said I was going to make it, and then I made it. And then I told all of them to go sod off. Because I did. I'm not going to lie. No, because I did. No, I'm sorry. But
I understand.
I did. Sure.
I did play, however, in the under 19s and under 21s. Yep. So I already knew what kind of mindset French basketball had. And it's not necessarily good. I mean, even Evan Fournier could even tell you a few stories when he was training and his dream was to make it to the NBA. And the guy told him, the head, the coach of the head, the director of the national basketball, whatever thingy over there, told him, dude, you ain't going to make it. NBA. I'm like, this is crazy. Wow. This is Evan told me this story like 2 years ago on the phone. We were talking about something and he told me that. I was like, whoa, that's intense, right? So they're not. It's not a culture of really wanting. They want their guys to make it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. Sure, I do.
100%.
Yes, absolutely.
To me, I made it before every. Not only I made it, but I made it through the college route, American college route, before anybody made it. I mean, when I say before, I mean like they did not expect me to be a first round draft pick, right?
Of course.
So that left me with a very. To some extent, being my big mouth and also the fact that the history of French basketball with a contentious relationship. However, French basketball is unbelievable. French basketball is unbelievable because the Black diaspora from Africa and from the Caribbean is feeding France with talent that other European nations do not have. Right?
That's right.
When I say talent, I mean athletic talent. And their system of training, when you go to that national center where all those kids went, Parker and Fournier and all these guys you see who come from the French national team, who come from France, usually will go through that system. They go 2 days since they're like 15
very
years
young.
Old. Like yeah. People don't like, why these guys go? Well, they train more than you, dude.
Right.
They train more than you. You go to your AU tournament. Parents are excited on the side. Yeah, my baby's going to the league. No, he's not. Not only is not, but there's some dude in Slovenia who trains 2 days since he was 14. There's a dude in France who trains 2 days since he was 14. There's a dude in Australia who trains 2 days since he was 14.
Yeah, yep, that's right.
And those dudes are plucked, right? Oh, this guy in this region, he's tall. Parents are tall, athletes. Plug this one, plug that one. It's like they select who they're going to train. Right? That's why world basketball shot up very quickly.
Well, think about when you started. I don't know how many international players were in the NBA, but there were over 120 on NBA rosters at the start of this year. And we imagine very soon Victor Wembanyama, who I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Oh, did you see that? Oh, stop.
I mean, what do you do with that, Tariq? You're a defensive guy. What do you do with that?
I don't even know what to do with Banchero, which you talk to me about. This dude is 10 feet tall.
That's right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even deal with a 6'9 guard who's like 245, right?
Yeah. 250, exactly.
250 with handles and high IQ. Can't deal with that. So you think we'll deal with the 7'4 who's out there shooting one-footed threes, like come step back threes from, nah, that's crazy. That's crazy. But that's a testament to what I was saying.
Yep, right.
That's a testament to what I was saying.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, tell us about our team, because you got another guy, Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, a couple of guys that kind of went the international route and played at Michigan. You're familiar with, coached by your former teammate, Juwan Howard, right? So what do you like about this Magic team here?
That team is good. That team is young. That team is good. But there's too much. Okay, it's going to be too honest because I think the coach is onto something, right? Obviously, they can score, right?
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so the thing is this: the problem is this. Either Banchero and Wagner go for 30 each, and you win, right? Or you get more physical. You shorten maybe like, because there's too many guys scoring points. Like, it's weird to me. Like, there's guys that should be sacrificing the points for more defense and more hustle and more knocks in the face. Like, literally, like it's too easy sometimes, it seems like. The other team gets too. I mean, I'm looking at the Wizards game five days ago. And these fools are just. Don't curling and just going in the lane like you got knocks like Charles Oakley, man. You got to knock somebody on their booty, man. You got to knock someone down. right?
It's a different mentality.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a different
what,
mentality
so,
now.
So I think there's a lack of physicality, right? But it's tricky because the ones who are physical are offensively physical, but not defensively physical, right? So it's a tricky team. Like the way the team is built is weird to some extent, right? Bol Bol needs to play.
Yes.
He needs to take care of himself, but he needs to play. It's like, I'm looking at it like, what's going on here? I don't understand. It's different. It's just different when he plays.
Seems yes, it is.
Right? But team defense has to get better. Rebounding has to get better. And I think the team has to be more physical. I mean, that's my take from what I've seen.
But that can come, right? You got a bunch. It's the third youngest team in the NBA. They can learn that, right? They can learn that.
You saw them win like 8 in a row last month.
Yeah. Yeah.
7 in a row. What was it?
Six in a row.
Six in a row, and eight of nine.
Yeah,
and they beat teams, right? They beat legit teams. So the idea is you never want to lose too many in a row and win too many in a row. You kind of want to win, lose.
Yes.
That's how you kind of have to build it. But it's not that easy, right? And it takes time. Yep. It takes time. I mean, it takes time, unfortunately. But I'm happy for Markel Fultz. I'm very happy for him because this guy, I mean, I'm happy for him. I hope he keeps on playing the way he's been playing, scoring in double figures and whatnot. But I think the coach is right. The staff is right. It's the right people. I think it's the right group, but maybe two players out, two players in, just to add more physicality. But I don't know who those players would be.
Sure.
But I wouldn't touch Bol Bol. I wouldn't touch Banchero. I wouldn't touch Wagner. And I wouldn't touch Markel Fultz. Those four are important players for this team.
I love it. Well, they're going to have. I love the passion. Look at George. Remember this,
Dante? I'm shocked that Tariq follows the Magic this close. I really am.
Like those teams. You want them to do good, right? Sure, I'm only playing for 14. It's not like I don't follow Denver. I don't hope Denver wins like that in this right now. I can give a toss about Denver. I don't care about no Denver Nuggets. I tell you.
Well, then what about Sacramento and Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, Sacramento. I go to the games. Sometimes.
Do you? You go to the games in Sacramento? Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And not all the time, but you know, once in the blue moon, every 3 months, I make a phone call, try to get tickets.
Could you have imagined when you played that there would eventually be a guy like Luka Doncic? Could you have foreseen that there would be a guy you felt could happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Luka Doncic is just Peja Stojakovic without him breaking his leg when he was younger. If Peja didn't break his leg when he was like 19 and the system ran through him, he would have been like Luka Doncic. I mean, it's not like
this. That's a great point. That's a great point.
European basketball is European basketball. Guys like that, we see them. They're there. I mean, they're there. The only difference is Luka Doncic gets the ball every time, shoots the ball every time. They give him, everything runs through him. And that might be a problem. Because at some point, like I said, it's nice and easy when nobody's playing defense. But when the playoff comes around and you actually have to not only score, but you got to guard, not everything can go through you. So it might become a little bit challenging towards the end of the season to do exactly what he's doing now. I'm not talking about him scoring points, but I'm talking about, can he make his team win when the levels go up 3-4 notches?
No, you're right. I think that's very interesting. It's very astute. And that's what we're seeing. I got to tell you this. So you mentioned your kids and playing tennis. My daughters play softball. There's a former Magic player whose daughter is very good at softball and is committed to Florida, and she's going to play, and it's Jason Williams, and he gave me some gear for my daughters. All right. So Jay Will, you had a front row seat to that Jay Will show in Sacramento. So we pulled up some highlights, and my daughters are sitting there watching Jay Will right in his prime. What did you appreciate about being with him, Chris Webber, that team in Sacramento?
No, this guy had a love for the game that was not normal. Like, it was not normal. Like, he was he had an enthusiasm for the game. Like, you know, some people, when you get to the NBA, you have to work to get there. right? And some players, when they get there, they really, like, they don't like the game. Like, dude, it's hard. Like, it's hard. It was hard to get there, right? So I'm going to try to keep what I can keep and be sit. This dude had no, he was playing the game. Like, literally, he was playing basketball. When half of us were working at the game, he was playing it.
That's a great description.
That's a very good point.
Description, right?
Right,
there's
right.
No, like, I'm in the middle of a game. The dude, we're in a fast break, 3-1 fast break. This dude pulling up from 10 feet behind the three-point line. I'm like, what kind of, how do you do that? Like, how do you do that?
Because he's at the park, Tariq, right? Like, because he's at the park. Everybody else is working. He's at the park.
You at the park, you do that, you got problems. You do that at the park. I didn't even know. Like, at the park, you got an old head. Oh, kid, what you doing? Right? This dude was, and you didn't even feel bad when he missed it.
Yeah, right, right.
Because the excitement was contagious, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, think about it right now. Think about it. You see how Steph Curry, how when Golden State goes on a run and they start shooting from anywhere and it goes in, right? Yep. And when it doesn't go in, no one cares.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was him. That was him. Obviously, he was not as good as a shooter as, right?
Sure, sure.
Golden State. But that's the idea behind it. You're going to shoot 7 of them. You're going to miss 6 of them. You still made 7 threes.
Yeah, right. The risk reward. I mean, if it misses, okay, but if it makes it, it blows the roof off the place. I mean,
it blows the game wide open.
Yes, I know. I agree. Well, Tariq, this was awesome. We could do this forever. We got
to
make.
Listen, anybody that doesn't know about the 99 Heart and Hustle team can listen to this for 20 minutes and realize why that team was successful, because they all had the passion that Tariq Abdul-Wahed had. They all felt the same drive. This has been awesome. This has been really good, Terry.
Nothing. This is who we were. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, I love that. Well, the honesty is great, but you had fun playing. The passion is still there. We got to get you back here. Now the next goal is we got to get you down to Orlando at some time. Do you ever make it over to the East Coast or not as much?
My brother lives there.
Still in Orlando.
Still here. Okay.
My brother lives there. So he went to school in California. He played at St. Mary's. Then he went to Europe, played. Then he came back, and then they moved there. He recently moved there, like 3 years ago. So he's in, I don't know the name of the town, but it's like 20 minutes from Orlando.
That is fantastic.
I don't go there. My kids went
there.
You don't?
Even go. You just don't want to visit?
No. I just don't. Like, I'm busy with stuff here, whatever. So I never had the chance to go. But if I go, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah,
yes.
And let's get you back to the arena.
Yeah. He's done enough traveling. He's just relaxing now. I don't blame you. Well, great to talk to you. Anything you need, please reach out. This has been fantastic catching up with you, and we wish you nothing but the best, Tariq.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you so much. That'll do it for this edition of Magic Pod Squad with Tariq Abdul-Wahed.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
See new things. Try new things. Go back centuries while living in the moment. Forge new paths while discovering old ones. Pedal, paddle, and paint while trekking, tasting, and tailoring experiences that transform you into a better version of yourself. Immerse yourself in the world by activating your mind, your heart, and your body on a river cruise exclusively from Avalon Waterways. Save with limited time offers at AvalonWaterways.com. Avalon is cruising. Elevated.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.